Well, we have two other questions. One is, I think, well, actually, there are two questions on the one sheet. A very, very helpful question. It says, if I am presently in a career or in university pursuing a career and believe this to be where the Lord has me, what are some practical things I can do to use the position I have both to reach people and to prepare myself for future responsibilities? When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4:1, he said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, the vocation there is not what you do to pay the bills. Paul treats that as your part-time job. He says your full-time job, and he's just writing to a group of Christians in Ephesus, your full-time job is what you do for the Lord. That means that the 8 hours or whatever you spend on your work project to pay the bills, that is very much service to the Lord. And if you do it as unto the Lord, the Lord will actually pay you double time. You'll get paid by your earthly employer, and someday he will pay you again because he recognizes you're doing it for him. Not as men pleasers, but serving the Lord. So that is very much a principle of Scripture, that work is a stewardship, work is a responsibility, work is a privilege, and work is a means by which I glorify God. So doing well on my work is very much something that the Lord appreciates. In fact, he says that the slaves who are mucking out the barns, if they don't do it well enough, they actually defame the doctrine of Christ. They actually do damage to the doctrine of Christ because people say, if that's a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. So by all means, whatever it is that we are doing in life, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. The second part of the question, and I haven't fully answered the first part yet, but the second paragraph says, should each of us see ourselves as tent makers in our jobs, providing for the needs of our families while serving the Lord? I think that is true, isn't it? It's true that what the Lord has done, as he has given us two spheres of responsibility with our families in the world, paying our bills, providing things honest in the sight of men. And at the same time, he's called us on a mission. Every one of us, we are full-time workers, we're servants of the Lord, and we have the same vocation. And that vocation, which he then describes in the rest of Ephesians 4, is our service in the church, in the work of God. I think there are careers, and the comment that I made, I think there are careers that lend themselves to greater opportunity in the service of the Lord. There are individuals who are called to, say, medical missions. And when they're called to that, they realize this is going to be their life. You can't take medicine on as a hobby. Okay? We'll just take a little neurosurgery as a little course here, and we'll see what we can do when we get out there. It's your life. You've got to pour yourself. If you're going to be a good doctor, you've got to give yourself to that. And it becomes a very large part of your life. Now, if God calls you to that, you better do it. But I believe you should be called to be an attorney or to be a doctor or to be a medical missionary or to be an accountant just as much as you're called anything else. I mean, the will of God is involved in all of this. And the Lord wants to place you in a sphere. He wants people in every sphere of life, and he wants you to be a light shining for him in each place. And you need to have that consciousness, the Lord has put me here. The Lord has me here for a reason. So God wants people as missionaries in every sphere of legitimate work. He doesn't have anybody working in the mafia, as far as I know. There are illegitimate jobs, obviously. But every legitimate area, he has people who are living for him, witnessing, sharing for him. However, we also recognize, as the Scripture makes it plain, that there are categories of labor. There are categories of labor. The Bible speaks about the weightier matters and, shall we say, the less important issues. And if a man gives himself to become the very best, whatever his career is, or a woman gives herself every moment of her waking day to try and be the best she can be in her career, we've been called to more than that. We have been called also to testify, not simply to live, not only to shine, but also to sound, right? So it's like Gideon with his light and his trumpet, or like the bell and the pomegranate. There has to be a light shining, and that's done by faithfully living for Christ in my daily affairs. But then there also has to be witness or testimony. Otherwise, people will just think you're a nice person. So there has to be the balance of both. There are some careers, there are some areas of work that offer greater freedom and greater opportunity when it comes to sharing the gospel, right? In fact, a brother tonight told us that before he was in an office and he found it quite constricting, but now they put him on the road and he can legitimately, within his work, stop and visit a Christian here or there on his own time, but he's able to do that where he wasn't able to do it before. There are situations where, for example, a friend of mine out in Colorado, he was a school teacher. Every time he witnessed, he got into trouble. And he decided this is not a good way to win the community. He had taken a little course at university to make up his GI Bill. He was in Vietnam. And in order to make up his bill, he had taken a course in upholstery work. He quit his teaching career and he started an upholstery business. And he would take these indigent people, these poor people, in. He'd teach them how to do upholstery. He'd give them the gospel. And he has led literally hundreds of people to Christ through his work. Every person that comes into his shop hears the gospel. So that's an issue. Are there areas, a school teacher, for example, on the other hand, may say, you know what I want? I want my summers free so I can go out and spend my summers in evangelism. And so that's how they see it. I'm going to live a godly life. I'm going to take opportunities in the teacher's lounge or wherever it might be. And maybe there are other places where you have more liberty. There's a black kindergarten teacher in St. Louis, Missouri. And she tells the gospel preacher every Sunday, make sure you make it clear and simple because I'm going to preach it tomorrow morning. And she gathers all the children around her, and she says to them, what did you do on the weekend? And they go all the way around the circle, and then they say to her, what did you do on the weekend? And she says, I went out and I heard a wonderful story. And they always ask, what is the story? And she tells them. So she has a gospel hour. She went after the kindergarten because she said in the inner city, if you wait till first grade, they're already too hard. So she works in kindergarten. She's a missionary. As much as any missionary anywhere in the world is, she is on a mission there, and she's reaching kids that most of us will never have a chance to reach. There is a second issue, and the issue is the issue of ethics. There are many areas in the world of careers that are extremely difficult for Christians. You get into genetic engineering, or you get into being a defense lawyer. It's a very, Christians can do it, but it's extremely difficult, and you're constantly being forced to make ethical, hard ethical decisions. So that's another issue we need to think about. The third issue is the amount of time you have available in the evenings. If you're going to be an elder in a local church, there are just some jobs you can't do. There are some men, they're qualified to be elders on every point, except they have no time. And so they can't be elders. And, you know, you've got to make that decision. I sat down with a brother. Maybe I told you this. Sat down with a brother. He's a medical doctor. He's a surgeon, and he's working out of two hospitals and three clinics. And he said, we'd like to see a new assembly started in northern Kentucky. He said, what should we do? I said, well, give up your job first. So, well, you asked me. It's my opinion. But you're going to be useless. You're working 70 hours, 80 hours a week. What can you do? I said, you go. I know some brother. I know a brother in York, Pennsylvania. He was a medical doctor. The assembly was floundering, and he gave up $1 million practice, and he went and got a job as an emergency room doctor. He works 8-hour days, and he pours himself into the assembly. So if you're going to be an elder, young man, if you feel the Lord's got that for you, you need your evenings. When I was growing up, all of the elders in our assembly were lunchbox men. They made a choice to do that. So that when they came home, that was it. It's hard to put your tools away when they're in between your ears, you know. But if you can put the job away and you come home, there's an elder in St. Catharines. His name's Ross Mackindy. He's one of my heroes. And he had lots of opportunities for advancement in Foster Wheeler, and he turned them all down, and he remained as a foreman in the plant, first of all, so he'd have contact with the men, and secondly, so his evenings and his weekends were free so he could be an elder in the local assembly. These people are heroes to me. So those are the kind of issues, I think, that affect our careers. The other thing, of course, is that the Scripture says, live in such a way that people will ask you what's different about you, right? And this is where we need to be discreet. If somebody comes to you and says, what's it with you? You say, let's have lunch together, or let's meet for the evening meal. Away from business, don't be using the company time to do your evangelism. So these are issues that affect careers, and I'm sure there are many other things that could be said, but maybe those few things will be helpful.